is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Allbear. The U.S. says its war with Ukraine in the battle against Russia is with Ukraine in the battle with Russia for the long haul.
We will continue to provide the security assistance Ukraine needs to succeed on the battlefield.
Vice President Harris joining President Biden at the White House today for a meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky, where they reaffirmed the $2.4 billion in new aid headed to Ukraine. Former President Trump says he'll meet tomorrow with Zelensky. Mr. Trump has said repeatedly he could end the war between Ukraine and Russia within 24 hours. President Biden signed a stopgap measure to avert a government shutdown next month. Hurricane Helene closing in on Florida, a Category 4 storm, wind over 130 miles an hour. It is expected to make landfall later tonight along Florida's Big Bend curve, and it could remain hurricane strength as it heads through the state and into Georgia. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Carrie Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A four-year-old girl from Neillsville is expected to pull through after being found shot in a home yesterday. At this point, investigators say it looks like another child shot her with a handgun. They haven't said whether it was an accident. Local election clerks are busy explaining how secure Wisconsin's balloting is. For instance, Madison City Clerk Maribeth Witzel-Bale says all poll workers work in twos.
Two poll workers initial your ballot. Two poll workers are checking you into the poll book. Two poll workers are involved if an absentee is damaged and needs to be remade.
About 2,000 Madison voters were recently sent duplicate absentee ballots by accident. Witzel-Bale says barcodes will prevent anyone from voting twice. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Richland County Board of Supervisors held a special meeting Tuesday night to offer residents an opportunity to share their concerns. The agenda included discussion on specific county topics. First and foremost on everyone's mind was the cybersecurity incident. County Administrator Candace Pesch.
We were advised every step of the way by a legal team and cybersecurity experts on all of the steps we were to take and when we were to take them. And so that hopefully will answer a lot of the questions. This handout here, what I will say is there are things that we cannot discuss publicly.
A copy of the most asked questions and answers can be found on the Richland government webpage. If you have any questions concerning the cybersecurity incident in Richland County, call County Administrator Candace Pesch at 608-649-3001. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Milwaukee Brewers are officially the third seed in the National League. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. With Los Angeles and Philadelphia both winning Wednesday, the Brewers are now locked in and will play in next week's wild card round. The Brewers beat the Pirates 5-2 this afternoon and will finish up with the Mets in a potential playoff preview this weekend. Green Bay plays Minnesota this week, and the big question is, will Jordan Love play? Malik Willis, who started the last two games, says he'll be ready if needed.
The same as, you know, last week, the same as the week before that, the same as the first week in Brazil. I mean, you just try to prepare as best you can and be ready to go if called upon.
Coach Matt LaFleur says they are taking it one day at a time.
We have a plan every day. Obviously, that's dictated by our medical staff in terms of how much he can do.
Kickoff is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced former player Junior Bridgman as a significant minority owner of the team today. Bridgman will have about a 10% stake in the franchise. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with a high around 80. And upper 70s to near 80 this weekend and mostly sunny. It stays warm through Monday, then cooler through mid-next week. Currently at 79.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will preview the Wisconsin Badgers taking on the USC Trojans live from Los Angeles, California. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who binge-watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
I don't have my glasses. Doggone it. You don't happen to have a monocle in there, do you?
I do not.
God, what is this? Remember when radio used to mean something? There would be a random monocle laying around, or bifocals.
There's some extra glasses over there.
Could use Mino's glasses. What do you think? How's his eyesight, do you think?
I mean, those look pretty thick. I don't know.
I could just hold actual Coke bottles up to my... I think they're in my briefcase. I'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. Hey, welcome to Nightlight, everybody. It's great to have you here. This is a Thursday night edition of Nightlight, which is so much different than the Wednesday night edition because I'm going to be honest. I've got a Charo hangover. She was so much fun last night and so energetic. I've kind of just been going through the motions today. It's a Charo-less day in my life. I've only had one Charo full day. But it had that much of an effect on me that now I'm Charo-less until she comes on the show again. So anyway, but we got a lot of fun planned tonight. It's Thursday night, ladies and gentlemen. You know what that means. It's our popcorn pick of the week. And joining us tonight at 6:35 to make said pick will be Clary's Popcorn from Madison. And that's going to be fun. They're right on State Street. I've probably walked past Clary's 1,000 times. And I probably bought popcorn there. I like caramel corn. For whatever reason, I love getting caramel corn when I'm in Madison because they have all these places, a lot of places in Madison on State Street, you walk right past and it's like fresh and you can smell the warm sugar and caramel and it smells so good. So the owner of Clary's Popcorn, Ken Clary, will be here at 6:35 and we'll find out what Ken's popcorn pick of the week is and we'll learn a little bit about his product, too. That'll be fun. And then at 7:05, our old pal, frequent flyer here at Nightlight, I have an addendum. Frequent in-studio flyer.
Yeah.
I would say Emerson's been here in-studio maybe more than anybody.
Yeah. I mean, he even goes through snowstorms to get here.
He did, so. Well, snowstorm. He did once. Let's not... Yeah, let's not.
He did one snowstorm, and he got here.
He was still a sport.
In one piece.
Yeah, absolutely. So Emerson, who is the host, co-host of the WBAY Morning News here in Green Bay, will be here. And I've got a whole bunch of different stuff to ask him. He's Emmy-nominated since we last talked to him, which is very exciting.
It is.
Yeah, so we'll ask him about that. I've been on the periphery of Emmys, meaning I've never come close to getting a nomination for any kind of Emmy. Not a local Emmy, not an Emmy in my neighborhood, not even an Emmy on the block. So I'm very excited to talk to Emerson about his how he feels about that too, because he's worked hard and he's very good at what he does, and he's a really fun guest. So he will be here at 7:05. And today, this is a very special anniversary. Conrad, you were probably too young. Well, I know you were too young to remember this, but this is the anniversary of the NC-17 rating. I mean, talk about overreaction. You know, go from R to X. That's fine. There's nothing you can see in an R-rated movie. I mean, I know what there are some parameters that distinguish an NC-17 rating from an R rating, but just cut it. You don't have to, like, I've seen stuff in R-rated movies. I've seen stuff on TV now that just get an M for mature. And I can't believe some of the stuff they're showing. Like, the NC-17 rating seems like kind of a waste and pointless to me. Have you ever seen an NC-17 movie?
I didn't ever even... What's the difference between R and NC-17? Is it, one year difference in age? Because it's under 17 and then R is...
Yeah, but what, like, why 17? Why, like, you can do so much stuff at 18.
I don't get the rating.
At least when it came out, what my friends and I would laugh about was that it was, you can show male nudity in a rated R film, as they often do, but not, there were no erections, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think you can show that in an NC-17. But, you know, I mean, it's pointless. I don't think we need it anymore. We can retire it, either make it an R-rated movie, and if you have to cut something, I don't think there's that much of a leap that we need to make from, we understand what's happening in an R-rated love scene or sex scene or whatever. We get it. We don't need to see extra stuff, if that makes sense. Just graduate up to the old adult film aisle.
Yep.
If that's what you're really looking for, you know. Yeah. Oh, that movie would have been so great if I saw his penis. I mean, it's just so stupid. So, I mean, come on. It's just a really dumb... And I will say for me, and I think the NC-17, I don't think... I'd have to look this up, but I don't think violence came into the rating or language. There's not, you can't do worse than language that we have in R-rated movies. I can't even imagine any kind of linguistics that would come out that would go, whoa, that needs NC-17. Because they can say anything in R. I've seen heads lopped off on broadcast television. So in terms of violence for NC-17, what are we looking at? It's just sex. And to me, I've said it before, sex just is lame in movies. It slows down the plot. You just don't need, even in a porno, I don't like sex. Stick to the plot. Stick to the plot. We don't need those people rolling around naked. But our question tonight is, what offends you the most, if you're the type that gets offended, that is, what offends you the most in an R-rated or NC-17 rated film? Is it language? Is it graphic violence? Is it sex? You could tell us if it, what offends you of those three things the most, or what just don't you need? I don't mind language. I people swear now. It's just become commonplace. So I guess that's my question tonight is, when it comes to an R-rated or NC-17 rated film, what are you most likely to be offended by? Sex? Language? Violence? Bad acting? This got an NC-17 for bad acting. And you can share a movie in your opinion that went too far. So that's our question tonight. Let us know what you think. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And listen, I'm not a prude. You know, I like physical activity as much as the next guy. See, I couldn't even say sex. That makes me a prude. I said physical activity. I appreciate a round of lovemaking as much as the next guy. But I don't know that it is always necessary in movies, I will say. So I probably do sound like a bit of a prude, but to me, it's just, I don't like when it slows down the movie watching experience.
I think it's not necessary in action movies most of the time. In comedies, it's whatever. Like, if it goes away from the plot a little bit. If it's funny, I'm like, all right, whatever. But in action, and it adds like another like 20 minutes or something to get to that point, you know.
Yes.
Then, yeah, it's like, totally, did this three-hour movie need to be 3 hours?
Well, and it's interesting what you just said, because back in the 70s and 80s, sex comedy was a genre. and even into the 90s, American Pie, Animal House, you know, there was always sex in comedies. It was just part of the drill. No pun intended. But the worst is, to your point about action movies that have intimate scenes, romantic scenes, sex scenes, the worst was Independence Day, when Will Smith stopped at home to tell his wife and kids, take cover, get out of here, you got to do this. And his wife just had to have a little something then. And he's got everybody from the CIA and the government chasing him. And they get, he's like, no, baby, I can't. And they start making out a little bit. You wouldn't even do that. Stop. You would get out of there to protect your. It's so stupid. Sometimes they shoehorn sex into a movie. And it's so extraneous. And it's offensive. So I would probably say my answer to this would probably be sex, just because I don't like how it slows up the story. Language is language. Sometimes violence can go too far where it's like, whoa, I didn't need to see that. But to me, I'm with you. The 20-minute sex scene in the middle of a thriller, it's just something you don't need. Go rent an adult film if you have to. Or go make your own. I don't care what you do in the privacy of your own home.
See, I'd say with me, it's sometimes when the movie goes too far with violence. Like you said, you're like, you didn't want to see that.
Right.
And there's no really like warning per se.
Right.
It'll say like, oh, there's violence in it, but you don't know what type of violence.
And that definitely happens. I'm not, and sometimes I can sense it coming and I'll just look away. I don't want to see.
Yeah.
I don't even like to watch sports injuries. I can't.
Oh, those.
They're brutal.
Yeah.
And I literally cringe and I'm just like, oh. I've still never seen the Joe Theismann leg break.
Have you ever seen the Kevin Ware?
No.
Oh, that's one of the worst because it was.
You see bone?
It was. I can't remember if it was the national championship or it was the Final Four. But it happened on live TV. And
oh, my gosh.
I won't say too much, but you could see the bone.
That is horrible.
Yeah, that pretty much ruined his career.
And then there was the guy, Napoleon. McCallum, was that his name? He was a Raider, and his knee got so hyperextended back, and you could see it. I saw it starting to happen, and I looked away. Johnny Knox from the Chicago Bears was returning a kickoff, and his back got bent back at a grotesque angle. I still haven't seen that one all the way through. So it's the same thing in movies.
Yeah.
I just don't. I'm like, I
don't want to see it, you know.
Well, and not only that, but they do it because they can. Because the special effects are so good and the stunt people are so good. Hey, look what we can do. Okay, that's great. I still don't want to see it. Yeah. You know, give me a good chase scene.
I'd say, I don't know why, like whenever I see blood in a movie, I will cringe, even though I know it's fake.
You see the blood,
I don't know. I know it's fake too, like in anything I see on TV, and I still cringe.
I've kind of desensitized, I think, to blood because that doesn't bother me as much as like bones breaking or just heads getting chopped off and whatever. I just can't do
it. Yeah.
So, okay. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about Halloween decorations. Where are you guys at with this? Do people put them up too early? Do they leave them up too late? Are they too overt? Are they too ostentatious? Whatever you want to call it. I don't mind them. We'll have a discussion about that. But we are celebrating or retiring the NC-17 rating. We don't know if we need it. So that's our question tonight. What is most likely to offend you in an R-rated or NC-17 movie, if anything does? Sex, language, or violence? Let us know. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going down.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that. Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar. something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Little darling, it's been a long, long, lonely winter. Little darling.
Sometimes when you play like a really good song coming out of a break, I have to stop myself. I almost start singing like I'm at home alone in the shower. And then I realize that, no, there's people out there.
I'm sure they want to hear it.
Don't do that to them. That is Here Comes the Sun. And this is the anniversary of the song dropping in 1969. That was not the Beatles. That was Richie Havens. My personal favorite version of the song is Richie Havens. But George Harrison wrote Here Comes the Sun, I believe. And I've said it before on this show. I know Lennon and McCartney get all the glory. But for me, George Harrison, pound for pound, best solo career from the Beatles. I think John Lennon, like, he wrote Imagine. And that gets him all kinds of street cred. And he was great. And that was a great song. Iconic. But so is Here Comes the Sun. And so is My Sweet Lord. And Something in the Way She Moves. Yeah, George Harrison. That's my guy.
Like, I feel like you can hear that song in about like any sitcom or movie. Just at randomly.
It's the go-to. Yeah, exactly. There's a reason it's overplayed. This happened to me today. I always talk about, I drive here every day. I've almost hit an animal 5 times. 4 deer, 1 raccoon. I think it was a raccoon. It happened so fast. I don't know how I didn't hit this thing a couple weeks ago. But here's my other issue with the road between Marinette and Green Bay is the divided highway. Not the divided highway, the cross traffic. You have that? That is so dangerous. And it always comes down to people. We should be able to handle that. Responsibly cross the highway when you have enough time. But time after time, I see people like going for it. I think I can make it. No, don't think. This isn't something to goof around with.
Yeah.
And so often, more times than not, the other person just keeps hauling ass. Doesn't really slow down. Almost like it's like, I'll teach you if I hit you. You know when I'm slowing down?
What?
If that car that's going for it is a clunker, because I don't want them to be on the receiving. Like, they could get halfway across the road and their engine could die, or they could lose a wheel. It's so scary. I can't believe there aren't more accidents. And then I had this happen today in town in Marinette as I was trying to get out of town. I was left a little later than usual today, and I get stuck behind that person going 10 below the speed limit. Almost like they're broadcasting, I'm an extra good citizen because I'm going even slower.
Sometimes that's more dangerous.
I know, because people are going to want to pass you. I don't tailgate, but I sit there and curse under my breath. I'm like, what are you? Don't be a hero. You can go the speed limit. That's allowed. Crazy.
I got on one of those roads that you can't pass yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And there was a person going 10 below. It was 30, but still they're going 20.
Yeah, oh my God.
And there was two people behind me, and I looked back and I could see the face. They're like, the face of defeat. Like, all right, I gotta wait here now.
People hate each other. I saw this on the sheet that Todd sends out. This was kind of funny. In 1991, this is the anniversary, four men and four women began their two-year stay inside the Biosphere 2. The project was intended to develop technology for future space colonies. How would you want to be? Who would you want to be in a biosphere with? That should be a question. Four men and four women. You are asking, I wonder how often they needed more condoms. Because you're in a biosphere for 2 years. And I know you've got work to do while you're in there, but come on.
And I don't think it's the best thing to reproduce.
In a biosphere? Look at you, Mr. Science. How would you know that? I wouldn't go there. That's not the first thing I would think of.
Well, first you got to think, is there a doctor? They got to have a doctor out there.
That's true. 2 years. You have to find plants like to do it behind.
Yeah.
Because it's a biosphere. I don't even technically know what a biosphere is. I have an idea.
Well, but, just imagine a crying baby in that too.
That'd be brutal. So what do you think about Halloween? You have a lot of Halloween decorations in your yard?
I don't have a yard.
I mean, in your hood.
Well, let's see. I got one that I bought last week, and it's the smallest thing you'll ever see. It's just a little sign that says boo.
That's what you have at your apartment?
That's it.
Oh, wow.
I decorated fully this year. And it's funny because last year I lived with my brother, and him and his wife go all out. Like, their yard, they have tombstones.
Oh, yeah.
They have those projectors and everything.
Right.
It's really cool. And I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything to help.
Well, I mean, let's do a deep dive into the boo sign. That almost... I mean, I think you're almost better off going all out or doing nothing. Like, boo, it's like, how can I put the least amount of effort possible into this holiday?
I put it right by my TV.
Oh, it's inside?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, when you look at the TV and you're like, oh, you know.
Even though you put it up? Will you get trick-or-treaters at your apartment?
No, because you have to buzz in. Gotcha. I won't have candy.
You know what people used to do? This was so funny. When I was a kid, they would put a whole bowl full of candy out full. And they would just expect the honor system. And my friend Mike Toomey, who's been on the show several times, used to do a joke. He's like, they put a bowl of candy out and a sign that says, take one. And he's like, take one? Where do you live? I'm the first kid. I'm taking the bowl, too. I got a decorative Mother's Day gift as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. We have neighbors who are wonderful people, and they go all out. I'm just guessing they have $10,000 worth of Halloween decorate. And that's a guess, but they do a nice job. It's over the top, but it's kind of fun. And sometimes when you take walks and you pass their house, they have the things that jump out at you. And only a couple of people have died from a heart attack, but it doesn't bother me. I think as long as you don't, like, they have music playing, but they turn it off like by 10.
Okay.
Well, but some people go crazy. You know what I mean?
I mean, Todd said he did a lot of decorations, didn't he?
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. Because I was listening on Monday, and he said first year he's actually went.
That's right. He did say that. That's right. Sherry says, good evening, Pete. And Conrad, good evening, Sherry. Great to have you with us, as always. She says, action, beating people up. I don't like that. Then stop doing it, Sherry. Kidding, of course. And Vicky says, no sound. We got to look into that. All right. It's our popcorn pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen, and that is coming up after Civic Media award-winning news, which is next on the Civic Media Radio Night. Civic Media Radio Network. There we go. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
C Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The mayor of Wausau maintains he did nothing wrong when he moved the absentee ballot drop box Sunday. Doug Denny insists he wasn't up to anything nefarious, but Denny's actions sparked a protest the other night. Some people in Wisconsin are trying to save Native American languages. Laura Red Eagle is a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation and part of the Indigenous Language Table. It's a group that meets in Madison once a week to have everyday chats in Native tongues.
It takes a veil away. You can kind of see how people think, how you view the world. You can ask questions, and you don't feel stupid for doing that because anybody that's showing up for a language class is already super brave.
The United Nations predicts more than half of the world's languages will disappear in about 75 years. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Nominations are being accepted for the 41st Annual Virginia Heart Special Recognition Award, sponsored by Wisconsin Women in Government. The award recognizes the contribution and achievements of women in the Wisconsin state government. Virginia Heart was Wisconsin's first woman to hold the cabinet secretary position, serving as secretary of the Department of Regulation and Licensing, chairperson of the Department of Industry, Labor and Human Relations, and chairperson of the Labor and Industry Review Commission. All women employed in state government are eligible, and anyone can make a nomination. Nominations must be submitted by Friday to Heart Recognition Committee, Attention, Laurice Lincoln, by email at laurice.lincoln@wisconsin.gov. The winner will receive a reward stipend and will be honored during the awards ceremony at the state capitol on December 6th. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Benny Affleck and Jenny Lopez have fallen on hard times trying to sell their $68 million Beverly Hills mansion. Apparently, they had accepted a bid for $64 million from someone in New Jersey who ended up pulling the offer due to a death in the family. Affleck and Lopez bought the house just last year and paid $60 million in cash. Must be nice not to have a mortgage payment. It's pretty much common knowledge that Prince had moves, and apparently they weren't just on stage. During a recent appearance on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Halle Berry said that Prince had someone slip her a piece of paper and a pen during one of his Los Angeles concerts with the words, "Do you like me?" scribbled. Perry said she responded yes, and the man took the note back to Prince, who then sent the note back again, which read, "Would you go out with me?" This time, Barry says she did not send the note back, but instead kept it for herself until it was confiscated by the teacher. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the low 50s. Sunshine and beautiful for tomorrow with a high around 80. And upper 70s to near 80 this weekend and mostly sunny. It stays warm through Monday, then cooler through mid next week. Right now it's 78 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Donald Trump, on his Truthy Social platform, he wrote this, quote, "It was 3-on-1, but they were mentally challenged people against one person of extraordinary genius."
Real man of genius.
Here's to you, Orange Man. Losing by a whisker, then saying you won.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pat Kreitlow, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Salvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins us talking about Trump's appeal of his $464 million civil case, and he'll chime in on SDNY's case against New York City Mayor.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
All right, one of my favorite times of the week, because we talk about movies all the time on Nightlight and TV, and what goes better with a movie or binge-watching TV than America's great snack pastime, popcorn. And as we have done the last few weeks, we've invited someone from a Wisconsin popcorn company to come on and help us make a popcorn pick of the week. And this week, it is my pleasure to welcome Ken Clary of Clary's Popcorn on State Street in Madison. Ken joins us over the phone. How are you, Ken? Do we have Ken?
Yeah, one second.
Sure. Maybe he's getting a call. He got a call waiting. All right, so we're going to do our popcorn pick of the week. Last week, Randy Clemma was here from Clemma's Sequins Gifts and Cheese, and he and he made the pick of Roadhouse. That was a great pick, and he went with the original, and I was happy about that. Because when people make these picks, folks, every week, they don't have to pick a new movie. They don't have to pick an Oscar-nominated movie. It's just your own personal pick. So you are welcome to weigh in with yours as well. Let us know what your popcorn pick of the week is. It's great to hear from you. And we will we'll read your pick on the radio as well. So let us know what your pick is, too. Also, tonight's question, just to revisit, is in an R-rated or NC-17 rated movie, what is most likely to offend you the most? Sex, violence, or language? You're welcome to share a movie that you think went too far as well. That's our question of the night. You can also let us know what your popcorn pick of the week is at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. All right, we have Ken on the phone now. Ken, welcome to Nightlight.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. What's it like having a popcorn outfit right there on State Street in Madison? I would imagine that would be great for business. Am I wrong?
Well, we used to be a lot busier. The pandemic has kind of, you know, got people working at home, and it just hasn't really bounced back for the most part. Yeah, but the weekends are good, you know, and we get special orders for weddings and things like that, but it still hasn't bounced back to what it was before the pandemic.
Where are you on State Street, Ken? Like, what's a landmark? Like, the Orpheum, the Capitol? What are you close to?
I'm close to the Capitol. I'm three doors down on State Street from the Capitol Square on the left-hand side.
Okay, now I know I've been in there. I know I've bought caramel corn in there several times over the years because I'm in Madison about once a month. So that's fantastic. And
very good.
Yeah, and I can tell you it's great stuff. So so well done. So tell us a little bit about Clary's Popcorn. How did it start? How did you start this venture?
Well, I had a mutual friend that was working for a competitor of mine at the time, and he kind of talked me into throwing some money at this thing and tried it ourselves, and pretty much what we did, and, you know, a lot of trial and tribulations, and it took a long time to get where I'm actually comfortable now, but the guy that I had with me that got this thing started, and he passed away, so pretty much it ended up being my baby, so.
Okay. And it's your name on it, so I would imagine you take pride in your product?
I do. I do. Sure. I'm very careful to make sure that we guys send out a good product.
Absolutely. What did you do, Ken, before you got into the popcorn game? Because it seems like I've talked to several people now. It seems like, and I don't know if it seems fun because there are popping things. It just seems like you have a nice...
that word's off in a hurry.
Yeah, you probably hear it in your sleep. But what is it... what did you do before you owned this?
I'm a steam fitter.
A what?
Steam fitter.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what made you make the jump?
Well, I steam fitters, you can kind of work when and if you want, if the work is out there. So I just kind of backed out for a while, and I've gone back a few times during slow times, you know, worked on jobs like powerhouses and stuff. But but for the most part, you know, the pandemic really kind of got rid of some of my competitors. So the good thing about it is I'm kind of a lone guy down here selling popcorn, so that helps a lot now.
Okay. You know? Okay, so tell us about what you guys have in the store. What kind of popcorn do you have? What flavors do you have? Really let us know and let the listeners know what you're making there.
Oh, wow. We got quite a few products here. Of course, caramel cheese and white. And we got kettle corn, and we call it rainbow. It's all different colors, rainbow, different flavors. And we got like we call it cherry cheesecake. It's red and white, kind of a badger color. So if we kind of back it up as a badger corn too. And we got a pecan crunch, is kind of a like a peanut brittle. That was real popular. And
okay.
Trying to think. Oh, we got a cinnamon corn, and we got what else we got here?
Cinnamon corn sounds good.
Well, we got a patriot corn that's red, white, and blue. It's kind of a spin-off of the rainbow corn. And we have a root beer corn, and we have a caramel apple. And we got a strawberry and banana, blueberry, vanilla. Just, we got quite a different selection here. We kind of added a lot of them as the years went on. You know, we tried stuff. And so you kind of trial and error stuff, and some didn't make it. And for the most part, what we got now has been pretty successful for us.
So how do you come up with a flavor? Do you do that yourself and then you taste it or test market it or just give it to friends? How does that work? It seems like it'd be a lot of fun.
Pretty much. We do it, you know. A lot of my ideas came up with from people that have worked for me, too, you know, that they had suggestions and I tried them and some of them worked out pretty well. So, you know, kettle corn, we kind of had to hone that because, you know, we just kind of wung it for a while till we finally got it down to where I think we're pretty comfortable with it. But for the most part, as much as we've come up with, a lot of people that worked for me had a lot to do with some of the flavors that we got.
That cinnamon sounds good. What's your favorite, Ken? What's your personal favorite flavor that you guys have there at Clary's?
I'm kind of just a white corn with butter is kind of my
old school. That's awesome. Do you eat popcorn still, Ken, or are you, like, so over it? Okay.
I munch a lot. I mean, I don't pop it at home or anything anymore, but
yeah,
I get my fill during the day.
Okay.
It's kind of a quality control the way I try to look at it.
Why do you think popcorn is America's favorite movie snack? Do you have an opinion on that?
I would think so. I mean, it seems like you go to a movie, you almost got to have a big bowl of popcorn in front of you. Even at home watching TV, you should have a big bowl of popcorn in front of you.
I agree. Do you know how I did some research when we started doing this segment? I think it's so fascinating that it started during the Depression because popcorn was cheap. And then it became synonymous just with movie theaters. People would, like we talked about before, hear that popping. They'd smell it when they walked into the theater. Yeah. I mean, it was just a great, and then it just became part of Americana. I think that's such a great story.
Well, popcorn sells itself, too. I think the smell gets out and, you know, gets people thinking about it, too. So
yeah, for sure.
It sells itself in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So how can people find, if I wanted to order some, do you have mail order? Can people order Clary's online? Yeah. How do we do that?
Yeah,
walk us through that.
Clary'sPopcorn.com is our webpage.
Clary's
Popcorn. And we ship UPS, you know, anywhere in the States. We can go Canada, too, if you want, but to be a little more expensive, but yeah, we pretty much do everything UPS.
How can I ensure that some greedy, hungry UPS guy is not ripping into my popcorn?
Well, they pretty much have to scan everything when they pick it up, so
true.
You gotta have it. It's gotta arrive. Is all I can say.
He better not have popcorn in his teeth when he delivers it. That's all I'm saying. Okay,
yeah, don't be tempted.
Exactly. So my guest is Ken Clary. He owns Clary's Popcorn in Madison. It's on State Street, about three doors away from the Capitol. I have been in there, and I didn't know Ken at the time, but I'm in Madison about once a month, and I love caramel corn. And I'm a sucker for when you walk by a popcorn shop and you smell caramel corn, I have to go in and at least get a small bag. So I know I've been in your place several times, Ken. So it's nice to finally meet you and put a voice with the caramel corn I've been stuffing in my mouth over the years. And I think we're ready. Conrad, I think we're ready for our pick of the week. If Ken, are you ready, Ken?
I guess so.
All right, let's have our drum roll, and we will take Ken's popcorn pick of the week. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week featuring Ken from Clary's Popcorn in Madison on State Street. Ken, what's your pick?
Are we talking about a movie or something now?
Movie, yes.
Oh, boy. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV, you know. But when I do, like, I don't watch a lot of movies. You know, I watch, like, the History Channel and some of those things. I like Ridiculousness. But a lot of local programming when I do watch TV, and so.
Do you have, Ken, do you have, like, a favorite movie of all time?
Oh, I guess maybe The Godfather would have been one of them.
There you go. That's our popcorn pick of the week.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Ken, thank you so much for your time tonight, and I'm glad we finally connected. It's great to meet you. Keep up the great work, and the next time in Madison, I'll stop in and probably sample everything in your place.
That's a deal. Thanks a lot.
All right, you got it. That's Ken Clary. Check out Clary's Popcorn on State Street in Madison, right near the Capitol. You can take a tour of the Capitol, eat some caramel corn. That was kind of... Maybe I didn't explain it to Ken. Well, like, we have this drum roll. He's like, so what are you looking for, a movie? Yeah, Ken. Oh, he's a nice guy. And they do have great popcorn, I will say. I've been in there, and it's – I thought there was more than one place, though, on State Street. I could be wrong about that.
I got to say that was at the cheesecake one that you saw, the badger color one?
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
I thought was it raspberry? Sounding, you know, it was
cherry cheesecake, maybe?
Maybe it was cherry cheesecake.
That sounds so good.
I know. I'm going to try the cinnamon when I'm there. That sounded really
Bring
good.
Bring a bag back, will you?
I will. That's the great thing about popcorn. I've eaten popcorn that's been around for like a week. And it just, even when it's stale, it's like still passable somehow. It's fine, yeah. You know. But you know what I used to do when I would go into a bar? If there were nuts in a bowl on the bar or popcorn, I would just eat it. And now, not now, I would say 15 years ago, people were like, never put your fingers in those things. Because people come out of the bathroom and they go for the nut mix and the trail mix. And I almost retroactively vomited because that's all I used to do. You know, you have a couple drinks and all of a sudden you're starving and you're wolfing that stuff down. I can't even imagine how much fecal matter I inadvertently put into my system.
It's gross.
It's horrible. You still see it.
I do like when they have their own popping machine, though, that you can get. You can scoop your own popcorn, and then it feels a little bit better.
Yeah. I don't mind my own dirty hands. all right, that was fun. So Jim from Appleton checks in on our question. Our question of the night is, when it comes to R-rated or NC-17 rated films, what is most likely to offend you or make you cringe? Is it the sex, the language, or the violence? To me, it's the sex, and I'm not offended. I just get annoyed that it slows down the movie. Sometimes language is egregious or even violence, but I've kind of gotten jaded. I'm kind of used to that. But oftentimes it won't slow the plot down or the pace of the movie. But for me, it's the sex. Jim from Appleton says, anything gratuitous. You know, that's a great answer. Because anything gratuitous takes you out of the movie. It's like, oh my God. Really? Jim continues. He says, a swear-laden tirade that is the only swearing in the film. The one gross killing when the rest are left to the imagination. And, of course, the nonsense sex scene. That's a great answer. Yeah, you're right, Jim. They all can do that. Sex in movies annoys me so much, I don't even want to have sex at home anymore in my private life. I just, no thanks. Sorry. Been there, done that. Great answers as always. Keep those texts coming. If you want us to read them on the radio, I will do so. And you can give us your popcorn pick of the week as well. Ken's was The Godfather, and that's hard to go wrong with. I mean, that's one of those movies you turn on. You cannot turn off The Godfather if you're a movie lover. You just can't do it. So.
I've only seen the first Godfather. Is that bad?
It's not bad, but do yourself a favor and see the second one.
Yeah, I just never. My dad doesn't like the third one.
So. The third one's not great. I'm with your dad on that one. It's worth seeing just to see what they do, but it's not even close to the first two. So, all right, when we come back, we are going to do, I don't know, will we do Ted Lasso? Will we do some quick change?
Find out.
We'll figure it out. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is the story of the one. As a warehouse manager, her job is to transform chaos into clarity and to see patterns where others see problems. Luckily, she's got a partner who shares her perspective. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products, backed by real person support and in-depth online resources, so she can tackle every task with precision and turn potential setbacks into streamlined success. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with an international traveler's tip on today's Work Money Minute. I remember when every country in Europe had its own currency, and traveling there meant worrying about how you're going to change your dollars to pounds, and then lira, and then francs.
Bonjour.
Now today things are simpler, but I've still got two tips to travel smoothly and save a little. Number one. Use an ATM in the country you're going to and withdraw the foreign currency paper money that you want there. In most cases, you're going to pay less in fees and conversion penalties than if you visited a traditional currency exchange. Number two is to call and let your bank and credit cards know that you're going. Having your card turned down at your second meal in Paris because your credit card company thinks it's been stolen is annoying. For more everyday money tips, check out Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, have a good trip and take good care.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at WRCE.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Come again. Just when I'm about to get myself together, you walk right in the door, just like you've done before.
Americans eat 554 million tacos every year. That's 1,000 a minute. Do you think that's a lot?
I mean, kind of.
It is. You know why? Because that's from one establishment. That's from Jack in the Box.
I love tacos, though.
I do, too. And Jack in the Box, I don't know if there's any Jack in the Box in the Midwest or East, but it is the best bad food you can eat.
Really?
Yes. And their tacos are just greasy, and but they're like stuck together at the top, so it's like a little, almost like an empanada. Oh, are they good? And it says about 1,000 a minute.
Wow. Okay.
So horrible. As Americans, just from that place.
We made it so much a minute. Made it so much worse.
I know. Just from Taco Bell is probably even bigger. Who knows what the heck? That's probably 8 million a minute. And then I saw this too. This is on Todd's sheet that he sends out every day. From 1923 to 1969, the official language of Illinois. Take a guess at what it was.
Oh, I don't know. What is it?
American. I mean, I would almost expect that to come from like a southern state or something. What does that even mean, American? I assume they meant English, but come on. For 46 years, that was the official language of Illinois. It was American. Crazy. You know what I think we should do? I think we should – we have these Ted Lasso clips.
Yeah.
People love Ted Lasso. I don't hate Ted Lasso. I think Ted Lasso doesn't make a lot of sense, but I get that it's warm, it's funny, it's sweet. So, and I think most of our audience probably likes Ted Lasso. So let's give the people what they want, Conrad. Let's fire up some Ted Lasso clips. You got one?
So, I've only seen a couple episodes.
You know,
he gives like a, was he going through a breakup or something?
Yeah, his wife.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so. This is him giving a pep talk to his team, but it leads to him talking about his wife.
Okay. All right.
Got ourselves a tie game. Nice work. We need to change. And look, I know change can be scary. One minute, you're playing freeze tag out there at recess with all your buddies. Next thing you know, you're getting zits, your voice gets low, And every time your art teacher, Miss Scanlon, leans over your desk to check and see how your project's going, you feel all squiggly inside. She was a striking woman. Not classically beautiful, but striking. First time I ever saw tan lines. Most of the time, change is a good thing. I think that's what it's all about. Embracing change. Being brave. Doing whatever you have to so that everyone in your life can move forward theirs. Because maybe it's the only way you can truly help her be happy. Obviously, by her, I'm referring to Lady Football.
Good save.
Sam, we're going to shift you to midfield for the second half. And Beard's going to walk y'all through the rest of the changes.
That's funny dialogue. But part of my issue with Ted Lasso was when he was breaking up. The scene where he breaks up, I think his wife comes to England. And it's like the easiest breakup ever. Cue the sweet music. Oh, we both need space. Well, this worked out well. Goodbye, honey. Goodbye. There's no, she's trying to stick a fork in his neck. She hates him. There's another lover with one of them. I mean, it was just like sort of very just fluffy. And they gave that as one of the reasons he had to go to England to give his wife space, even though he has a son with her. Get your own apartment. And coach American football, because that's what you do. I don't know. I got to calm down. All right, what else you got?
Well, this one's just be a goldfish.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, Sam, come here a sec.
Coach, I'm sorry.
You know what the happiest animal on earth is? It's a goldfish. You know why?
No.
Got a 10-second memory. Be a goldfish, Sam. Yeah? Yeah, you got it. Go ahead.
Did you ever have a goldfish?
I can't remember if I have or not.
You know, the Schwabas are not good pet owners. And when it goes down from my mom and dad all the way to my own family. And my mom and dad had a dog when we were kids. First of all, I was allergic. They still got a dog. Thanks, folks. But it would bite people. The next dog they got had some kind of bone thing. It was a purebred lab. Had to have a leg amputated, and it would just sit there and bark at my dad while he was watching TV. And he learned how to block it out, but none of the rest of us could. So you got a three-legged dog, just for 30 minutes. Then they bought a herd dog, a little puppy that would never let anybody leave the room because it was like a border collie or whatever the hell it was. So, you know, we were like, well, we're not doing dogs. So we got a goldfish, and we were great about like washing the tank out. Every week, we'd pull the rocks out, we'd scrub them, and we named it Goldie, which is probably the most uninventive name in the world. But we put, you know, we took Goldie out, we washed all the rocks, we cleaned the water, and Goldie lived for about a year until someone else in our building at the time, we were renting this apartment, said, no, you can't wash, you only dump half the water out. They need an immune system and all that kind of stuff. So we did that, and the fish died the next week. I should have done it my way. That was working. Thanks a lot, Conrad. Brought up a really bad memory.
Sorry.
All right. Emmy-nominated Emerson Lehman, our pal, our frequent flyer, our in-studio frequent flyer, is our guest next after award-winning news here at Civic Media. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight.
Looking better than a body has. And shaking me up so that all I really know is here you come again. And here I go.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
It is fabulous Female Friday on the Maggie Dawn Show. Folks, we've got historian Heather Cox Richardson and Senator Tammy Baldwin. You are not going to want to miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.